Today, as we celebrate this feast of the circumcision of our blessed Lord, the question always would come up of why? Why did he have to do this? Well, the circumcision brought him into the covenant. The reason why people would ask the question of why is because he is the new covenant. That is, he didn't just come to make a new covenant, he is the new covenant. So why did he have to be brought into the old covenant? Well, there are a few reasons we can look at. Number one, it showed that he was a Jewish person because all the Jewish males had to be circumcised on the eighth day. Secondly, when you look, for instance, at the gospel reading for the presentation of our blessed Lord, I think there are about five times in that one passage in St. Luke's gospel where it tells us that everything that Our Lady and St. Joseph did was to fulfill the law. This would also fulfill the law. It was something that was required. But even so, looking at it that same way, it's like, well, but still, if he's the new covenant, why? Just as we could ask the same question when we talk about the baptism of our Lord. He is without sin. He went and was baptized with the baptism of St. John the Baptist, which was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin, but he's without sin, so why did he need to be baptized? Because he's the head, we're the members. So he did it for us. So we'd say, well, so was he circumcised for us? I would suggest not. But rather what we see is in the first reading today, I think is the ultimate reason. It says that he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and cleanse for himself an acceptable people. So he entered into the old covenant precisely for the redemption of the Jewish people, to be able to cleanse that people for himself. When you look even at those texts from the presentation, it kind of gets at that point, because there's a strange statement that St. Luke makes that the commentators have struggled with for years. And it says, when it came time for their purification. Whose? It's the purification of the mother on the 40th day. Well, but it's the purification of the mother because of the flow of blood in the birth of the child. Jesus was born without the opening of the womb. He was born in a miraculous way. There was no flow of blood. Our Lady didn't need to be purified. But if all these things were done in obedience to the law of the Lord, then the question again comes back, and like, who is they? It's the people of Jerusalem. It's the people of Israel. They are the ones who needed to be purified. So Jesus entered into the old covenant in order to purify the people of the covenant to be able to live according to the way that God intended for them to live. And then he inaugurated a new covenant so that those of us whose relatives are not Jewish, those who were not of the covenant originally, would also be able to be brought into the covenant. St. Paul, in one of his letters, talked about these people who were Gentiles, and he said, you didn't have life. You weren't part of the covenant. You did not have life, but now you have life in Christ. And so for the Jewish people, they understood entrance into the covenant was entrance into the life of God. And so too for us. So now we can share in that life, but in an even more profound way, as we know. Because for the Jewish people, they are the people of God. For those who are baptized, we become children of God. And so it is an even more profound reality than what was taking place through the circumcision of the flesh. So it also demonstrates the true humanity of Jesus, that he is a son of Abraham, because that's where the circumcision came about. And if he didn't have a real human body, none of this could have happened, obviously. If he wasn't a true son of Abraham, he wouldn't be being circumcised. So it points also then to the incarnation, that Jesus is indeed God, but he is human. He has a human body with human blood, and he has a human soul. He is not a human person. He is a divine person from all eternity, but he has a human nature, a real human nature, exactly as ours is, the same human nature as ours. So all of these things are brought together in this one act of the circumcision. Yes, it is obedience to the law of God. Yes, it shows him to be a son of Abraham. Yes, it cleanses them for the cleansing of the Jewish people. But it also shows us the incarnation. And it gets to the point exactly of what it is that he came for. His name was given to him on the eighth day, just as technically we receive our name at the moment that we are baptized. Yes, your parents can give you a name, and if they don't baptize you, they still call you by a name, but you become a son or a daughter of God at the moment you're baptized. You get your divine name at your baptism. So too in the Old Covenant, where circumcision preceded baptism, therefore the name was given on the eighth day to the male child. His name was Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, a savior. That's what the name means. And so he entered into the covenant because he told us himself that he didn't come to do away with the old, with the law and the prophets. He came to fulfill them. So he came to fulfill everything that was there. Just as he told St. John the Baptist, remember at the time that our Lord was being baptized, John the Baptist looked and said, no, I should be being baptized by you. And our Lord said, no, we must fulfill all righteousness. This was to fulfill. That's exactly what his circumcision is. It was to fulfill everything. So he didn't come to skirt around the law, but to fulfill the law, which means that he had to be able to enter into it in order to supersede it. Just as we could say that he entered into death in order to destroy death, in order to reveal the fullness of life, he had to enter into death. In order to supersede the old covenant and form the new one, he entered into the old one first. So when Simeon and Anna recognized him in the temple at the time of the presentation, Simeon said that he would be a salvation to the Jewish people and a light to the Gentiles. So again, we see that same thing at play here. Now, what's important, though, is to understand that in the new covenant, there is no longer any distinction. So he entered into the old covenant, but as I said, the new supersedes it. It fulfills it, and it completes it. And so now we have a new covenant, which is for both the Jewish people and the Gentiles, That's what St. Paul keeps talking about. Anytime that you hear St. Paul talking about this mystery, and it's rather mysterious because he doesn't tell you what the mystery is. Except thankfully, there is one place in all of Scripture where St. Paul tells us what the mystery is. And that is that the Gentiles are now co-heirs with the Jews, members of the same body, and heirs to eternal life. That's the mystery. So Jesus entered in as a Jewish person into their covenant in order to fulfill it, to complete it, to perfect it, and to bring it now to the next level, because, as St. Paul tells us, no one is going to be saved through the law. If the law could perfect us, we wouldn't need anything new. The law couldn't perfect us. So Jesus entered into the points of the law, but we also have to remember that a lot of those laws that the Jewish people had were given because of their disobedience. Our Lord was obedient, and therefore the law was no longer necessary, because the obedience of Jesus has perfected it and now is able to supersede it. So while it may seem strange to us, and especially to look at it and say, we have a feast for this? Why are we doing this? Because it's actually very, very important. It was very important for a first century Jewish audience to be able to recognize that our Lord is truly Jewish, that he participates in everything that the Jewish people were about. Again, he didn't separate himself from the Jewish people. In fact, he himself made it very clear that he came to call the lost children of the house of Israel. And then he sent his apostles out to the pagan world to convert them. So his ministry was primarily to the people of God. He had to become one of them. Just as St. Paul again makes clear for all of us, that he had to become one of us so that he would be able to die for us and that we would be able to be a member of him. Well, that's exactly what he was doing for the Jewish people. But he was doing this to move them forward, to no longer simply be stuck in the law, which could not save them, but to be able to bring them forward to what the law was presenting, what the law was leading them to, which was life, which was union with God. And so as our Lord goes through the circumcision, it is to bring divine life. That's what it was all about. So yes, particularly in that case for the Jewish people. But then, of course, we recognize it's for all of us, because he has established that new covenant. Having fulfilled everything of the old, now he establishes a new. Everything was done in obedience to the will of his heavenly Father. Therefore, he had to be obedient to everything. And he was. And it was through his obedience that we are saved. So too, through the obedience of Christ, will the Jewish people be saved. They are going to have to accept him. Even to this day, so many have not. But there is no salvation in anyone other than Jesus Christ. No one. There is no salvation in Moses. There is no salvation in Abraham. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ and him alone. So any Jewish person to this day who is ultimately going to be saved is saved because our Lord entered into the old covenant in order to establish a new one. Because it's the only way. God had already established this covenant, so our Lord had to be part of that in order to bring the people to the fulfillment of what that covenant was all about. And that's what you and I already have. That's the glory that he has given to us, the life that he has given to us, the hope for eternity that he has given to us. That's his gift. And we tend to take that for granted. The Jewish people couldn't take it for granted. And we shouldn't either. And so we have to then be able to understand what it is that he's doing and why. And we need to learn then from him. If he who is the Son of God was obedient in all things, then that is what we should be about as well. Obedience to the will of God, striving to do God's will in all things. That's where our salvation is going to come, not simply from going through the motions and doing the things, but by doing what God has asked us to do. He's asked us to love God and love neighbor. He's asked us to live holy lives. That's what he wants us to be obedient to follow the example of our blessed Lord. Yes, in the areas where he has laid things out and said, this is what you have to do. Yeah, we need to be obedient to those things. But it's to the much larger things that we have to be obedient. Just going through the motions and saying, okay, I was baptized or I was confirmed or I went to Mass, those are excellent things and they're absolutely necessary. But if all you do is say, well, baptism was one day how many years ago and that's done and I've moved on, no, it's continuing. What started on the day of your baptism is going to continue for the rest of your life. And if we forget about that or we just make it some little functionary thing that we went through years ago, then what does it mean? The same is true with your confirmation. The same is true when you come to Mass. If it's just going through the motions and receiving communion and leaving and who cares, then did it really affect us? Did it really change us? Did it really do anything? Because your baptism was your entrance into the covenant, and when you receive Holy Communion, it's your celebration of the covenant. These are not little things. These are the biggest things that we just take for granted. Jesus didn't take these things for granted. He was obedient for a reason. And that was to look beyond, to move things beyond, so too then for us. We don't do these things just because we have to do them. God is asking us to do this because it's what's best for us, to move us beyond, to be able to help us to keep our focus where it belongs, and that is on the Lord and on eternal life. So as we look at our Lord's entrance into the covenant and all these various things that he did, and then establishing a new covenant, he set out the pattern for us as we enter into the covenant to be able to fulfill it, to be able to complete it, to perfect it by moving beyond, not beyond the covenant because the covenant is the person of Jesus, but beyond in the sense that it's no longer something external, it is internal, and it is about union with Jesus. Not just, well, we were baptized into him or we just receive him in Holy Communion. He wants union. That's what he's looking for, that complete change in us that unites us with him. That's the fulfillment of the covenant. It is pure love. That's what you're going to do for eternity. It's the fulfillment of the covenant. It's what moves us beyond into the next world. That's what he has in store for you. So he has established the pattern. Now he's simply asking that we would follow that pattern. Not of what he did with the old covenant, because he could move beyond that. But what we are to do now with the new covenant, to fulfill it, to perfect it, in union with Jesus Christ, in the purity of love of God and love of neighbor.